if you want something to really change your life and you want to know which tapes to get, if you haven't been coming the last couple weeks, the tape that's called War on Rebellion, Declaring War on Rebellion, that's kind of what started all this. You don't know how rebellious you are until you begin to let the Holy Spirit show you. But then the tape series that I would say goes along with that, Independent Spirit, talks about when you rebel from God, but you begin to do like Satan and you get all your self-esteem from the gifts and talents and roles you play. And then if you follow that, one of the most powerful teachings I think I've ever done that's really changing lives, but boy, is it making everybody act weird for a while. It's the one with the kid on it. Was it parents? The power of a father's love. And it's not for dads. I mean, that's great too, but it's for anyone who realizes most of your dysfunction comes from this lack of a powerful father. But those three gets us up to where we are right now, I guess. The spirit of Ashdod is a spirit because they didn't have a father or a father that loved them and trained them up. And when that happens, you feel rejected by that father. And when you're rejected by that father, you begin to buy the lie that God himself has rejected me, that there's something wrong with God, that God didn't make me right. And when you buy that lie, we're going to see in a minute, you fall into the category of a reprobate mind. And let me read this and it'll make sense to you. What we did when we cast the Ashdod spirit out, a lot of people changed. People cried. People realized for the first time God loved them as a father. But instantly, all of a sudden, things were coming to the surface about, yeah, but he's going to reject you or you're not good enough, or anger. And then all of a sudden, where you spent your life trying to get that father's love, even if you didn't understand that, all the dysfunctional relationships under that started coming to the surface. So you've got people who are mad at their sister now, or people whose mother's the bad guy now. And all of a sudden, it's like it's broken open. These kids and people who were hiding under, I've got to be good so daddy will love me, or I need to do what daddy wants. Or all of a sudden, there's this freedom. I am loved by dad. And all of a sudden, all the stuff that was put under this lying spirit, the strong man, is coming to the surface. And boy, it's been like, I don't even want to answer the phone right now. And I've got like 7 of them. So it's like, and even if I know your caller ID number, I'm not sure I want to be talking to you right now. So I said, everybody just come to the meeting. Listen, let's listen to this. I'm going to start at Romans 1, but I'm not going to preach it. I know that that's going to be so hard for me. But I want you to listen to hearing about truth about Jesus when I just read starting Romans 1, because you need to understand the whole letter. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who came of the seed of David according to flesh, who was marked out the son of God in power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. They basically just told you in this letter, real quick, who Jesus is. He was born of man, so virgin birth. I mean, he belongs to man, he's son of man. He was marked out as the son of God. He was empowered by God. He represented God. He was God's only son. And according to the Spirit, he lived a holy life. He obeyed the Holy Spirit. And in that place of obedience and walking with the Spirit of God, he was holy. By the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. He became Lord because he rose from the dead. Because he paid for our sins. That's what it's saying there. He's basically telling you all the truth you really need to understand God before you get to the rest of this. By whom we received grace, apostleship, to obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. Among whom are you also called out, ones of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm giving you your identity. Here's your identity. Here's your identity. Here's your identity. Here's who Jesus is. Here's who he was as far as man's concerned. Here's who he was as far as the Father's concerned. Here's how he lived by the Spirit. Here's what he did. He paid for your sins. He was resurrected. And now, as Christians, you are called out ones. Now you're separated unto him. That's your identity. To all those who are in Rome, beloved of God, called out saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm not going to go into all this. I'm just going to go first. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of in all the world. There's fruit in this group. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his son, how without ceasing I make mention of you, always at my prayers beseeching, if by any means now at length I shall be blessed by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you for the establishing of you. He's saying this heart in Paul, this is a true walk of a believer. I found God, I'm living for God. Now God's using me to establish him in other people's lives. But I do not wish you to be ignorant, brothers, that often I purposed to come to you and it was kept back until the present, that I might have some fruit among you even among the other nations. Okay, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to foreigners, both to wise and to foolish. So as far as lies in me, I am eager to preach the gospel to you in Rome also. I am not ashamed. Okay, this is beginning to get us into what a reprobate mind will make you different than this. This I want you to see first, because this is the mind of Christ. This is truth. I want to let you see here where a reprobate mind comes in. And remember, if you have the Ashtab spirit, it will be twins with or part of the reprobate mind. But I think you can have the reprobate mind without it also. I think you can get into unclean sin and different sin and move into that area, even if your father didn't reject you. But there's probably a high probability that you didn't have a great upbringing or there was some issues if you've moved into that kind of sin, okay? I don't want to say things that the word doesn't say that I'm not sure of even. So I'm not saying you can't have one without the other, okay? Who cares? Let's just get rid of all of it. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to every believer, both the Jew first and the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, even as it has been written, the just shall live by faith. I'm in 17, Romans 1:17. So right now we're beginning to see truth. If you are a born again believer and you have trouble witnessing about Christ, you have trouble. It's easy for you to back down and be intimidated by man. It's easy for you to try to please people. I'm going to tell you something. What he's starting to show you is you've given into a reprobate mind. Because if you have the mind of Christ, if you know God, if you understand who he is, you are not ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed of laying on hands. You're not ashamed of speaking in tongues. You're not ashamed of declaring truth as truth. You are not ashamed to say what God says about you or about other people or about anything, any issue in life. You're not going to be ashamed. If you get into shame, you have this reprobate mind. If you have a hard time explaining to someone why you believe that sin is wrong or why you believe that this isn't of God, or if you have a problem with that, you still have a people-pleasing spirit in you that can be a result of a reprobate mind, but certainly will lead you to have a reprobate mind. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to show you what it is. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven on all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, holding the truth in unrighteousness. Because the thing known of God is clearly known within them, for God revealed it to them. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. What God is saying here, what the word is saying here, in nature itself, in the way God has created the universe, there is a knowing that God is God. When we look at evolution and we preach that as truth, we are releasing a reprobate mind, not a carnal mind. I'm not getting into it. Carnal mind is just what a flesh mind does. It kind of goes after sin and all. Reprobate is actually exchanging truth for a lie and making it sound like truth. In other words, a reprobate mind takes what Satan wants you to believe to come against who God is and what he created. A reprobate mind is Satan taking throne in the universe to decide what he wants you to believe truth is. Carnal mind is just given into sin and stuff. Okay? So both are bad, but reprobate is worse. Our society has been turned over to a reprobate spirit because we teach evolution. We teach that homosexuality is okay. And I'm not coming to get, that is not the unforgivable sin. That sin will not take you to hell faster than the sin of lying. That's where we have people who are confused. What the homosexual, which we're going to look at in a minute, let me read it, then we'll get there. This is so cool because it makes so much sense when you begin to understand reprobate. And I had never understood it myself until I started reading the definition, but also got into this. Listen to this. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. In other words, everyone will be held accountable for how do you think the ocean got there? How do you think you had breath? So all these definitions, all these explanations that take away from God is a reprobate mind. It's a reprobate spirit. When you say you believe, well, it's from a big bang theory and evolution, that is the most ridiculous thing. And God says, you know what? I created the world in such a way that you would know that that was ridiculous. And you wouldn't even receive it unless you were trying to not believe in me. Therefore, I'll give it over to you. In other words, if you want to reject what nature itself declares about me, abortion. No, anyone knows if you don't touch those tissues, they're going to turn into a baby. And if you kill a baby, it's murder. It's not even hard to understand. Even the carnal-minded person can understand that abortion is killing a baby. I'm not judging the people who buy into it. I'm saying Satan sets us up to get us to go into a reprobate mind. What a reprobate mind does is it takes something that's totally illogical and makes it seem like that's how it's supposed to be. It's ridiculous. If it's not a baby, then leave it alone. Let's see who's right. A reprobate mind says save the whales and kill kids. It's ridiculous. It's lower than a carnal mind. It's not just somebody trying to hang out with sin and give into the flesh. It's actually a spirit of Satan perverting what God has created in nature to reveal about himself. You need to make sure your kids don't believe that stuff. You need to sit down and explain to them in logical reasoning, why would you think that? My kids don't have reprobate minds. They think all that stuff is ridiculous because that's how I'm not ashamed to raise them godly. Not judgmental. There's a big difference. I'm not judging sin. I will say this right now. Two people married, having sex, that don't know God are going to go to hell, exactly the same hell as two people who are homosexual having sex are going to go to hell. Hell's hot. It's the same hell. Why have we focused to actually drive away people who need the gospel as much as we do? I'm not against people. But a reprobate mind, God didn't put this in here to make it stand out as the most horrible sin. He actually put it in here because everyone knows that a man and a woman are made different. And you can put two men together until you're green or blue or orange in the face, and they cannot produce a child. What God is saying with this is the reprobate mind gets so demonic that what nature itself preaches, they don't believe. They actually are given over to a spirit. That's what's contained in a minute. He's not picking on homosexuality. What he is doing is he is saying, look how ridiculous this is. Look how ridiculous. Why get married? You're not even really having sex. You're not even really having intercourse because you can't. The truth is you can't have sex, two men. You can't have intercourse. It's impossible. There needs to be a vagina and a penis. And they're not there. Put this on the radio. I'm just serious. It's time we get out of this reprobate society and their thinking. If you want to realize that you're looking for a father, and so you're only drawn to men because you're hurting so bad, and you want to give into some unclean perversion there, let's face what it is. I'm not worried about gay people having intercourse. They can't. I don't even want to give the reprobate spirit acknowledgement that's anything close to what God created for two people, a husband and a wife, that he's made for his specific reflection of what it means to be so in love, to want to be one with someone, that when you come together in unity, there is fruit produced that makes an image of you. Just like when I come that close to God, there is fruit in my life that's produced that makes an image of him. There's no way the other's going to represent that. He made it impossible. Now we're going to such perversion that there's cross-dressing, that's perversion, but where they're actually changing their bodies to try to make these parts. But they've yet and created how to really do it. What a desperation. And I'm just saying, what a desperation. Wouldn't it be great to set these people free? And I don't think it would even be that hard if they would really see the love of Christ and deal with some of these issues. See, we're not supposed to be throwing stones. We're supposed to be getting something so real with God that we have power to help people who want to be free. Jesus never said to help people who don't want to be helped. He said, don't judge them. Leave that to him. But keep walking as a light. And the Bible is very clear. People will hate us when we blatantly call out what a reprobate mind is. This is good preaching. I don't hate anybody. I'll set anybody free. I can show you where you got hurt. I can show you where that spirit got in. And it's no different than somebody else having a lying spirit or anything else. You're so hurt you can't see the reflection that God has for marriage. And there's a lot of married people who are married and they're not. They're perverted also. And what they're doing is hurting each other and using each other. But what God is saying in both is just as bad in the sense that hell's hot. But what he's saying, let me get to this. This makes so much sense once God starts showing me this. Because people like to say he's picking on homosexuality here. He is not. He's revealing to the extreme that a reprobate mind can go to. Okay, because knowing God Everyone knows God, folks. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know how to be restored into relationship. But when he says here, because of knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Now we're getting into it. In other words, he created the universe to reveal him. An atheist is a total reprobate. Their mind is totally darkened. They cannot even see any longer, truly, that nature reveals that there's a living God.